Well, hey, church, glad to see you guys this morning. Over the last 4 weeks, we have been talking about and discussing relationships and friendships. And today we're in part five of the series called Toxic, and we're going to wrap this thing up today. Here's the deal. I think all of us, we're all on the same page in the fact that we can all agree that relationships and friendships are actually good for us. Okay, we kicked off the series 4 weeks ago talking about the need for each and every one of us to be in community, the need for us to do life together. In fact, that's the way that God has created us. And so for most of us in here, okay, we enjoy our friendships, okay? Like we do. Maybe you're sitting there and you're like, well, I don't know if I do right now because you had some big fight this past week, all right? Well, you should probably fix that. But I know a place where you can find a lot of new friends, and that's here at Grace, okay? I'm just saying, look at all these happy people sitting next to you, okay? Just saying, church, yeah, all right. But sometimes we enjoy, I mean, most of the time, should be all the time, it's not always, but we enjoy our friendships, and sometimes we enjoy even people that we don't even have, we wouldn't even consider as friends yet. Like, we enjoy people that we don't even know all that well. Like, you ever have people in your life that you just like, you know, that you know, or maybe they're in the office, maybe they work in some other department or whatever it might be, where you're just like, you know, that dude is just a good dude. You know what I mean? Or man, she is just fun to be around. Or one time she commented on your cute pants and now you love her forever. Like that type of thing, you know? See, it's easy for us to love the people in our life who we like. Right? It's easy for us to show respect to and go out of our way for the people in our life who we like. And if you're like me, your best memories, as you can think back, your best memories are always with the people that you like to spend time with, right? Like, that's just how it is. When I was in high school, I had a super strong group of friends. There was five of us. We did like everything together. In fact, people called us the Fat Five, okay? P-H-P-H-A-T, okay? Just make sure, all right? But most of us, I mean, as I think back, we all went to the same school, or most of us did, and one didn't, but the cool ones of us, we did, and we all went to the same church, and we all did the same things, we're into the same stuff, and we did everything together, like the 4 years, or really kind of dipped into middle school and even past that. So for 6 or 7 years, as we were going through high school and school together, like, we did everything together, and it was just such a fun time in life. In fact, one time, we pooled our money together, and we went out, and we bought a billboard of ourselves, just to put up, okay? There's really no reason for that, and we were so cool back then. We had it for the whole summer, and it was illuminated, and so it was Zelen at night. It was sweet, okay? But for those of us, and, you know, as I look at that picture, I'm like, we are still friends here today. I mean, we're still really, really good friends. And so relationships, like, we all get it. You could put that down now, all right? Relationships are important. Like, we get that. We at least on the surface level, we all understand that. We know that relationships are good for us. But here's the deal. As Jesus followers, which isn't everybody in this room, but for most of us, as Jesus followers, we are to do relationships and we are to do friendships different than the rest of the world. In fact, one time Jesus talks about this. One time Jesus, it's actually one of his most famous talks. He was talking to a huge crowd of people, actually walked up this super large hill. He sat down in the grass, and he just began to teach. And people came from miles and miles and miles, from all the surrounding villages and all the surrounding towns. I mean, crowds of people came because Jesus was like a local celebrity. I mean, everybody wanted to see the things that he was going to do next, and everybody wanted to hear the things that he was going to say next, because he was saying things and doing things that no one had ever seen or heard anybody say before. And so crowds upon crowds of people, they come and they sit down in the grass and they listen to Jesus talk on this particular day. And Jesus starts talking about relationships and what relationships look like in a Jesus follower's life. And this is what he says. We see this in Matthew chapter 5. He says, "Hey, you have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth." In which case, everybody's sitting there, and even for us here today, we've heard this before. Like, okay, yeah, that makes sense, right? That sounds fair. We've all heard that before. But then Jesus goes on. He says, "But I tell you, don't resist an evildoer." In which case, for those of us sitting here, we're like, wait, what? And the people in the crowd that day, they're like, what are you talking about, Jesus? Like, isn't that what we're supposed to do? Like, aren't we supposed to resist, like, evil people? Like, I don't know, just that does not sound right. Now, let me kind of clear this up real quick. What he's not talking about, like, self-defense or anything like that. So that doesn't mean, you know, someone comes at you with a baseball bat and they're going to knock your head off that you're like, go for it, you know, like, I'll stand still for you. That's not what he's talking about, right? He's talking about when someone wrongs you, which happens, right? Yeah. All right, you ever been wronged, all right, before? All right, when someone wrongs you, when somebody does something against you, when somebody talks bad about you, when somebody does that thing to you, right, which happens in all of our relationships, what he's saying is don't retaliate, meaning don't push back, don't resist them in that sense. He's talking about when somebody wrongs us, he's saying don't retaliate, meaning I don't want you to react when someone wrongs you. I don't want you to retaliate when someone wrongs you. I don't want you to get even when someone wrongs you. I don't want you to treat others as they treat you. He says, on the contrary, if anyone slaps you on your cheek, why don't you just turn the other cheek also to him? Some of you guys, you've heard that before, heard that phrase, turn the other cheek, all right? Maybe you've even used that phrase at some point in your parenting or whatever that may have looked like at some point in your life. Didn't know if you knew this, but you were actually quoting Jesus, okay? Because this comes from Jesus. This is where it all comes from, all right? In this culture, to the people that he's talking to, you know, we're thinking of like when someone slaps us, like that just rarely happens. And so this doesn't really apply to us all that much. But in this culture, this was so much more than just a slap in the face. What Jesus is talking about here is a lot broader than just that one instance of being slapped. This is like a huge insult. In fact, this was this was super embarrassing. I mean, this was a low-grade insult that anybody could do. In fact, this is actually like a backhanded slap, okay? That's a little worse to a lot of us, right? Even in our culture. And so here what he's saying when people insult you, which happens, right? If anybody insults you or if anybody hurts you in any way, he's saying, I don't want you to retaliate. I don't want you to push back. He's saying, when we're wronged, all right, I don't want you to push back. Now, when somebody does something against us and when somebody does something to us that we don't appreciate, they wrong us and they hurt us and they insult us in any way, have you ever noticed that there's always a sense of they owe me? Okay? There's always a sense of they owe me. There's like a debt in the relationship. We feel this on the inside, and the Bible talks about, and Jesus talks about this a lot, that's actually kind of what happens within the relationship. There's, when somebody wrongs another, right, there is a debt in the relationship. And we know this on the inside because we say things like, you owe me an apology. And so victims, they always come away feeling like they're owed something, right? The boss owes you recognition, or the wife owes you respect, or your friend owes you a little higher level of loyalty, okay? Or your husband owes it to you to keep his promise. And so because of that, there's always a sense of, I want payback. I want to make this right. I want to get even. I want to get them back. I want to retaliate. After all, right? I mean, think about it. Kind of seems fair, right? That what they did to you, you should be able to do back to them. And Jesus is like, no. He says, no. My followers, what we decide is I'm not going to be like you back to you, right? My followers, we refuse to retaliate. We refuse to get even. It's like we refuse the right to make it all fair between our relationships. We talked about that a few weeks ago, when we were talking about forgiveness and what exactly that means. And so he goes on. He says, as for the one who wants to sue you and take something from you, right, and they want to take away your shirt, why don't you just let them have your coat as well? All right, so they want to take something from you, why don't you give them more than what they're actually trying to take? And if anybody forces you to go 1 mile, why don't you go ahead and go with them too? You ever heard that phrase, like, go the extra mile, all right? Just so you know, you're actually quoting Jesus again, all right, when you were saying those types of things. This is where that comes from. See, what he's talking about here in this specific instance, and for us, we're a little lost, but for the people, they all knew this all too well. What would happen is, during this time period, Rome owned Israel, okay? We've talked about that a lot. Rome was a world power. Israel was nothing. And so a Roman soldier, by right, at this time period, by law, they were allowed to take anyone at any time and force them into manual labor, which would happen. In fact, we see this when Jesus is being led to the cross. Remember where he can't hold, carry his cross anymore? What do? They grab some guy from the crowd and force him to do it. Remember that? All right. So that's an example of that. And so soldiers, by right, by law, were able to take anybody at any time into manual labor as long as they were not a Roman citizen. And so as you can imagine, the Jewish people hated this. Right? They hated this, as we would too. It was degrading for them. It was extremely inconvenient for them, right? You had to drop what you were doing and you had to go work for the enemy who's actually oppressing you. And so out in public, like, you know, think about it, you're walking through the streets, you're walking through the market. I mean, you would avoid eye contact with the Roman soldiers at all costs. I mean, you did not want to get stopped by any one of them. And so Jesus is saying, I mean, think about this. This is how like mind-blowing this would have been to these people. He's saying, when that soldier who is actually your enemy, who you actually hate, who oppresses you and does all these wrong things to you, or really anybody for that matter, and for us, by the way, that would be that guy at work, that boss, that neighbor, that family member, anybody in our life who we feel like they have the habit of like taking advantage of us, okay? And for them, for the Jewish people, this was a soldier. He says, and when they demand, hey, carry my stuff a mile down the road, or when people in our life say, hey, I need you to do this, or I need you to do that for me. He's like, when you do it, right, when you get there, how about instead of acting like everybody else, he says, how about you ask, hey, do you need me to carry it another mile? Right, hey, is there anything else you need from me? You need help with anything else? Like, I know we're enemies. Like, I know me and you, we don't like each other, and you have forced me to do this, but is there anything more that I can do for you? And so the crowd of people, as they're sitting there, they're just like, whoa, geez, this is crazy. Like nobody would do that, okay? Nobody lives this way. And I think Jesus would have said, I know, all right? And he pushes even harder. He says, oh, and by the way, I would like you to give to the one who asks you. And don't turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You all got people in your life that they ask to borrow something. You're like, oh, yeah, I'm using it right now. Because you know you might not ever get it back. You know what I'm talking about? All right? He says, no, don't turn them away. All right? Let them freely borrow, even if you know that the chances of you getting that thing back is extremely, extremely slim. He's saying, I want you to be so generous that people, even your enemies, are like, whoa, seriously? Are you asking if you could do more for me? All right? That your enemies are looking at you and they can't believe it. This is what a Jesus follower looks like. And again, everybody in the crowd, as they hear this, they're just like, Jesus, this is not realistic. All right? Nobody can do that. That's just not the way the world works. In which case, I think Jesus would say, exactly. And that's why the world is broken. And that's why your relationships are broken all around you as well. He says, see, you've also heard it said that you should love your neighbor and hate your enemy. All right, and everybody's like, oh, yeah, of course. Like that's the way the world works. All right, we like the people who like you, okay? And we don't like the people who don't like you. All right, that's how everything works. He says, but I tell you, you should love your enemies. Right? Meaning you are to treat your enemy like a friend. Right? Not just forgiveness. Again, we were talking about that and trying not to be bitter like on the inside. Right? Even though they did that, even though you still can't believe they said that about you, even though that was so embarrassing that put you in such a tough spot. Right? We talked about that a couple weeks ago. But he's saying it's actually treating them kindly. It's even more than just, I forgive them on the inside. You know how you tell your kids where you're like, you know, say you're sorry, and they're like, I'm sorry, you know, but they actually don't mean it, right? He's saying this is an inside thing and an outside thing, right? This is something that you're treating them kindly on the outside because of what has changed on the inside. And he says this should be so different from the way the world works that your enemy is just like, wait, what? Why are you being so kind to me? All right, why are you being so nice to me? In our context, it would be the guy at work where you have some kind of rivalry with and you just cannot stand him. And what Jesus is telling you, he's saying, hey, I want you to treat that guy as a good friend. The guy you don't like, he's saying, I want you to act like you like him. Or that family member who says all the wrong things all the wrong times. You know that lady, okay? Where he's saying, I want you to act like you like them. I want you to treat them as you would, let's say, your favorite family member. Okay, I want you to treat them the same. Or for us Ohio State fans, you knew this was coming. You knew this was coming. All right? Who are undefeated still this season, unlike other teams who may have lost just last night. Again? For us, I mean, picture this. This might be the hardest one. For us, it's we are to treat the people around us, even if they are fans of the team up north and they're lost, even if we are to treat them as if we like them, okay? That's what we are to do. We are to act as if we like them, right? And you know they really need prayer, and I think that's where he goes next. He says, and I want you to pray for those who persecute you. By the way, think about it. You don't even pray for most people that you do like, do you? All right, like, we're not good at this. Can I just say this? Let me just kind of throw this in there. I don't think we love even the people we like as good as we think we do. Okay, we just don't do that. Like, if God was giving us a grade this morning on how do you love the people that you like and how do you love the people that you love, I think we'd all get a big fat F. Yeah, I think we'd all get an F. We'd all fail miserably. See, he's saying, I want you to pray for the person who doesn't like you. I want you to pray for the person, all right? I want you to constantly be thinking about the person and praying good things for the person, not God smite them or whatever, you know, let lightning fall. That's not the prayer he's talking about. Maybe you've prayed something like that, like take them down, okay? No, he's saying, I want you to pray for the person who frustrates you. I want you to pray for the person who left you. I want you to pray for the person who stole your idea. I want you to pray for the person who's always talking about you behind your back. But why? He says, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. What's he mean by that? So that you may be like me. So that you may know what I'm like. He's saying, so that you may have a deeper relationship with me. See, Jesus knows. He knows that you will have broken relationships. Jesus knows that people will offend you, they will insult you, they will hurt us, right? That's just life. By the way, just like we offend others and just like we insult others and just like we hurt the people around us because we're messed up too. In fact, Jesus wanted us to value our relationships so much that actually just a few minutes before this, you know what he says? In verse 23, he says, hey, if you are offering your gift on the altar, and there you remember that your brother and sister has something against you, real quick, I think some of us, we're already lost here at this point. We're like, what is going on here? The crowd, by the way, knows exactly what he's talking about. Because back then, what you would do is, one of the ways you would worship God, one of the main ways you would worship God is you would bring a sacrifice or an animal to the temple in Jerusalem, and you would sacrifice it there. Aren't you glad that we don't have to do that anymore? Okay, messy. Okay, and so that's what they did. By the way, the reason for that was to show them how serious sin was. I think we lose some of that here today. You know, we don't view our sin as, it's just not that big of a deal. All right, and so we lose some of that, but we don't have to do that, so it's all good. But this was a complete pain. Okay, this was a pain to do. It was very inconvenient. You'd walk through all the crowded streets. You know, you're carrying your kids. You're bringing some sort of animal. It's hot. All right, you go uphill all the way to the temple, and then you have to wait in line for like hours and hours and hours. It was extremely inconvenient, but you do it because you're a good Jewish boy, and that's what good God-fearing people do. And so you go, and you get there, and he's saying, and there you remember that your brother or sister has something against you. He says, there, as you've waited in line all day from the wee hours of the morning, you're there, and it's late afternoon, you still gotta travel back home, and you get right up, you are next. And he's like, and then you remember something, because you got a lot of time to think. He's like, you remember some unresolved conflict in your life? You remember an issue that you had with somebody at work, or maybe it was at school or home or wherever it might be? You remember that thing that you have with somebody, or a rivalry that you have with somebody? Have you ever had that thing with someone? You're like, there's just a thing here. Like, you don't even know what to call it. It's just like this thing, okay? It's kind of pushing you guys apart, all right? And it's not just with enemies, if you notice this, by the way. Many times, it's with the people that we actually like, right? There's like some tension between us once in a while. Sometimes it's a big thing. Sometimes it's just a little thing. The honest truth is just people frustrate us. You ever have people in your life that you actually like, but they get really annoying, Right? Sometimes those are the people that know how to be annoying the best. You know, like they know what buttons to push. This week I was booking a hotel, and I was doing it over the phone. Everything was all good. And I was giving, the lady was asking, she's like, what's your credit card number? So I gave her that. And then she was like, what's your expiration date? And I'm like, looking at the back of her card and I'm reading, I'm like, it's 5/4/8. And she's like, sir, I need your expiration date. And I'm like, yeah, it's 5/4/8. And she kind of pauses and she's like, sir, I need your expiration date. And I'm like, what is this lady? Like, I could tell she's getting a little frustrated with me. And I'm like, what is your problem, woman? But I didn't say that. I was like, sure, ma'am. All right, I'm reading it to you. It is 5/4/8. And she's like, sir, are you telling me that your credit card expires in 24 years in May 2048? And I'm like, oh, no. I'm reading the three-digit code on the back. You know, I got the wrong number. I'm like, never mind. It's this number. I'm like, I'm an idiot. I'm sorry. You know, we frustrate people, even people we don't know, okay? We don't even mean to. We frustrate people. Sometimes you frustrate the people that are the closest to you, like husbands. I'm just saying. Does it ever happen, maybe once in a great while, that your wife ever gets frustrated with you? Probably not, right? I heard women say yes. Guys were silent, okay? Sometimes Kate, she'll say stuff like, she'll be like, and she's right here, so I gotta watch what I say. But sometimes she's like, hey, why do you always have to insist on being right? And I'm like, that's a good point. All right, there's room for you on my side. Come on over and we could both be right together. I frustrate her sometimes, if you can believe it. You're so lucky. All right. See, here's the deal. When you have unresolved conflict, what Jesus is saying is he's saying that's an issue. That's an issue. Not just between you and that person, but between us and God. Is what he's saying. He's saying this is a big deal. And then he shocks the crowd. And he says, you know what I want you to do? He says, I want you to leave your gift there in front of the altar. And everybody's just like, whoa, 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 what? You want us to leave the gift? I've dragged my kids. Jesus, you're saying when this scenario happens, I've dragged my kids, all right, I've dragged this animal through the crowded streets. I've been waiting in line for hours upon hours to worship God. And while I'm waiting there, while I get to the end, you're saying, if I remember some unresolved conflict with somebody in my life, you want me to just leave the gift? If I leave, Jesus, when I get back, which will be like the next day maybe, or who knows how long, my gift might not still be there anymore. It may have wandered off, you know? And Jesus is like, yeah, that's exactly what I want you to do. Because your relationship matters to me. He says this. He says, first, right? See, there's an order to it. He says, first, I want you to go, right? I want you to go and be reconciled with your brother or sister, and then I want you to come and offer your gift. He's saying first, as in your relationship with each other is actually more important than the worship that you were trying to do that there that day. Think about it. He's saying first, I want that relationship to be fixed. And here's what the crowd heard. The crowd heard, Jesus, you want me to put them before God? And Jesus says, no. That's how you put God first. See, I want you to get along with each other. Even those who are hard to get along with. He says, think about it. He says, if you love those who love you, okay, what reward will you have? Don't even the tax collectors do those? Don't even tax collectors do the same? All right, we've talked about tax collectors a whole lot. We've spent like, you know, the first half of the year, more plus, right, in the book of Luke, as we went through Luke, tax collectors were basically Jewish people who worked for the Roman government. So as you can imagine, they were not liked, okay? What they did was they collected taxes for this foreign, oppressive Roman government from their own people, all right? So they're collecting taxes from their own people for the enemy. And so they were considered traitors, and they were hated. That's the reason why Jesus is using tax collectors here as an example. He's like picking the lowest of the low within that society. And so for us, I mean, think about the group of people who you have the least respect for, okay? Think about that real quick, all right? Maybe for you it is tax collectors, it's the IRS. You're like, man, I hate, you know, they're pulling your money, they're taking your money. Or maybe for you it's a certain politician, right? Maybe it's them. Or maybe for you it's just like the worst boss you've ever had, okay? Remember that guy? Remember him? Okay? See, Jesus is like, even those people that you view as like the worst in the nation or the worst in the world or the worst in your life, he says, even they love the people who love them back. All right, you think you get credit for loving the people who love you. He's like, that's easy. Everybody does that. Even the worst people in society do that. He's saying you get no credit for loving the easy people. All right, you get no credit for loving your best friend. You get no credit for loving your mama, okay? Even the most terrible people in the world love their mama, all right? That's just how it works. Loving these people, his whole point is you don't stand out enough. He says, think about it. He says, if you greet only your brothers and sisters or the people that you like, the people that are around you, he says, what are you doing out of the ordinary? The answer to that is nothing. All right, if you greet, if you're nice to, if you talk to your people, well, duh, that's normal. But Jesus' followers aren't called to be normal. Jesus' followers aren't to be just ordinary. He says, don't even the Gentiles do the same? Don't even the non-Jewish people, the pagans, the people who don't worship God, don't they do that? Everybody does that. He says, therefore, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. He says, your main goal here, when it comes to relationships, is to be like me. Not only is it good for the people around you, but he's like, it's also good for you. He's saying it's good for you. See, the way we treat people, it puts on display what we actually believe about God. See, the way we treat the people around us puts on display what we actually believe about God. And so Jesus followers, those of us who claim to be a Jesus follower, we show love not selectively like everybody else, but we show love to everyone. We actually see this. It comes up once again on the night before Jesus died. He gathers his disciples together. This is one of his last conversations that he has with his guys. And he reminds them of this. In John, we see, he says, hey, tonight I give you a new command. He says, I want you to love one another. And the disciples, they hear this, they're like, wait, Jesus, that's not new. And he's like, but I'm not done. He says, I want you to love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. Now, what he could have done at this point in this night is he could have gone around the table to each and every one of his disciples and been like, hey, Matthew, all right, hey, remember when we first met? Yeah. Remember how you were living your life? Yeah. All right, no, I want you to say it out loud, Matthew. What were you? What were you doing? I was a tax collector. I was the lowest in society. All right? Remember what I said to you? You invited me to follow. Remember where we went after we met? My house. That's right. Be like Jesus saying, Matthew, remember how I showed love to you that day? All right, I want you to show love like that to people every day for the rest of your life. All right, can you handle that? I'll try. You know, isn't that what we say? I'll try. You know, he could have gone to Nathaniel and said, Nathaniel, remember what you said about me when we first met? Remember what you said about me, my hometown, my little league team back home? Remember what you said about us? All right, when we first met, you're like, Nazareth, what good could come out of Nazareth? Nothing good comes out of Nazareth. Remember how I responded to you even though you insulted me? Yeah. He invited me to be a part of the team. That's right. And now, Nathaniel, what I want you to do is I want you to show love like that to people every day for the rest of your life. All right? That's what I want you to do. Hey, John and James, you guys think you're getting out of this? All right, do you guys remember when we were walking through Samaria and we were walking through one town and they completely rejected us? They were like, we don't want Jesus. We don't want you guys. We don't want any of your Jewish people around here. And remember when that happened? And you remember how that made you feel? And they're like, yeah, man, that really angered us. And do you remember what you came up and asked me after that? When you came up to me and you're like, hey, Jesus, how about this? We got an idea. Let's pray to God so that he'll rain fire from the sky and burn up this whole town. Remember when you said that? And they're like, yeah. He's like, not one of your finest moments. Jesus would have said, man, I was so frustrated with you guys that you guys have been with me for like 2 years at this point, and you're still like, you just were missing it. I mean, talk about retaliation. But did I kick you out of the group? No. No. James and John, I want you to show love like that. Like I showed you to people every day for the rest of your life. And then Peter wasn't about to get out of this. Okay, there's a lot on Peter, right? He would have said, Peter, remember that day I told you guys the plan? That was actually, we're heading to Jerusalem where I was actually gonna be killed. And remember how you responded, Peter? Remember when you took me aside and you chewed me out and you're like, how dare you, Jesus, say that you will be killed? Remember when you did all that? And remember what I had to tell you? All right, I had to, you know, tell you to back off. Remember what I called you? Peter would be like, yeah, you called me Satan. She's like, yeah, because that's who you were acting like. But did I abandon you? Did I say, hey, sorry, Peter, there's no room for Satan in this club? All right? Did I say, you got to go? Uh-uh. I served you. Peter, I've demonstrated this to you. I want you to show love like that to people every day for the rest of your life. I mean, Jesus could have gone on and on and on, example after example after example, right? He wants them to get it. He wants us to get it, that love is a necessity when it comes to all relationships in our life. But there's a reason, and it might not be what you think. He says, by this, by what? By the way you vote, right? By how successful you are? By the way you act at work, by that Jesus bumper sticker you got in your car, or that gray sign you got in your front yard? All right, by that? Uh-uh. By love. He says, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. See, we are recognized as a Christian, true Christian, not by retaliating when somebody wrongs us, but by going the extra mile and turning the other cheek and giving to the one who asks and loving those around us, not just the easy ones, but even our enemies, even the people that we don't like. And over time, what Jesus is pointing to, he's saying people will start to connect the dots, that there's something different about you, that there's something different about who you are on the inside. I mean, think about us. For us as a church, for us as Grace, I mean, we want to change Northwest Ohio, right? I mean, that's the whole reason why we came to Tiffin. That's the whole reason why we're planting a campus in Sandusky next year, all right? That's the whole reason why we're inviting people to come to church, all right? That's the only gonna happen with love. And by the way, can I just point out, love is not I accept everything that you do. Love is not I never correct those people in our life. We talked about this last week, all right? We need people in our life who oppose us, and we should be friends enough with people in our life, all right, to oppose them when they need opposing. Just like we want our friends to oppose us when we need opposed. It's not accepting that it's not accepting everything that everybody else does. It doesn't mean we agree with everybody else. But we are to show love to everyone, even the people we don't like. The first and foremost thing that we do is pointing everybody that we can to Jesus, that they can have hope, they can have freedom, that they can have a future by one way. And that's through giving Jesus our life. And then practically, we can't make that decision for them. But we choose to show love. I think the main part is maybe we just simply choose not to retaliate when we are wronged against. And so for maybe this week, what's that look like? Maybe for you, instead of trying to be right all the time, or instead of typing in that comment that you know is going to cause some problems, instead, maybe you need to figure out a way to show that person love. See, here's the reality, man. Relationships are hard, and they are broken in our life, but we weren't meant to do this thing called life alone. I mean, we have relationships, whether we like it or not, and that's good for us. That's the way it's supposed to be. And so even for you, I mean, if you might be here and you might not like be a whole church person, you're like, man, this just isn't my thing, and you might not be religious, you might not be a Jesus follower, okay? Let me just say this. The things that Jesus says will work for you too. if you do them. It will help your relationships. But that's your choice. But for us as Christians, not just in name, but in reality, man, love is not really optional for us. He's not really given us a choice here. See, the defining characteristic of a true Jesus follower is that we are to love others, even the people that are hard to love. Let's pray. God, we thank you for these words that Jesus gave us. And God, your standard is just so high. It almost, we look at that, we're just like, man, is that even possible? Like, that's just crazy. We think the same way as the people 2,000 years ago thought as they were sitting in the grass listening to Jesus say these things. But God, that's your standard. That's how a true Jesus follower walks. That's how we live. Not that we're going to be perfect at it, but man, we try as hard as we can. And we know that we can do it. When we fail, it's simply because of the sin in our life. God, you've given us the ability to show love to everybody, which in turn allows us to stand out. And the world will see us. The world will know that we belong to you simply because of our love. God, we ask this in Jesus' name. We need your help. Amen.
Well, let's stand together. Let's close.